My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
Thursday morning in New York City. What is up? It is the Boomer and Geo program coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. But instead of Boomer and Geo, it is Willie and Jerry until 10 o'clock right here on The Fan and on CBS Sports Network across the country. We've got Zoo. We've got Fliegelman, Chris Lopresti in later as well. I promise we'll get to the Yankees in just a couple of moments. And I tried. I really tried. On Monday, I came out. It was positivity, and it was with the Yankees, and I tried. And on Tuesday, we stayed positive with as much as we could. And on Wednesday, it was positive with the Mets, and everything was great. And I can't do it, Willie. I can't do it anymore. I can't. How are you first? How are we doing?
Oh, man, I'm holding on. It's a fine, you know, warm Thursday.
A fine, warm Thursday.
Yeah.
Temperature's going to go down.
I heard.
Yeah, yesterday
which
was quite,
I appreciate.
Quite warm, near 100 degrees.
It was a steamer yesterday. Yesterday was one when you left, you know, I left out of here. It felt like it was so humid and hot. It felt like somebody was breathing back in my mouth.
That sounds lovely. Yeah. That must have tasted wonderful.
Yeah.
So, speaking of a bad taste in your mouth, let's get to, and I said I tried. I really did try all week long to be positive. And while we're not going to, I don't think, harp on this all morning long, because we got a whole bunch of stuff to get to. We got a lot of baseball and football to get to, and then some odd stories as well that include the demise of almost one of our coworkers here at the radio station, which we'll get to next hour. You know, when I thought that the Mets would be a good team, and let me be clear, they are. They're better than most. They're over 500. They're still five games over, and they lost to a very good team in the Diamondbacks last night. I am not. Brandon Nimmo's post-game conversation with reporters was interesting, accurate, I think a little unnecessary, but whatever. And if you don't know what I mean, we'll get to that too in a little bit.
Okay.
You know, they're playing a really good team, like they played a really good team in San Diego. I think the thing that really irks me watching them are when you go back to April and the early part of May, and you look at Sunday's loss where Diaz gives up the home run and they lose a game. They were leading 2-0 and in the eighth inning, and they are literally, I think it was 4 or 5 outs away from taking 3 of 4 from the team that has played the best baseball since the All-Star break. It was a wasted opportunity by the bullpen, by a guy that they have to be the best version of himself to get to the postseason. All right, so you had that on Sunday. but I tried to stay positive. They split the series. All was good. They were the better team for eight innings, and it just happened. Okay. They go out and they win a game in Arizona where they stop the Diamondbacks' six-game winning streak, and they do it in impressive fashion. They fall behind last night, but what we've seen from the Mets over the last couple of months is that they're not out of a ball game. You never know. They come back. They take the lead. Everything is going wonderful. And then the eighth inning happens.
Yeah.
And here we go with the bullpen again. First things first. I mean, Phil Maton, can you throw a strike? You can't walk the batter on four straight balls. So be it. He does so. He gets the next two outs. Now, we can sit here and argue all you want. Should Carlos Mendoza have gone to Edwin Diaz in that spot or given Maton another batter because he just had got two outs and all was good? I'm not going to argue that point either way. I think you can make the case for give him another batter and leave Diaz for, especially with who they're facing at the bottom of the order, and let's leave Diaz to start a nice clean inning.
You would assume two guys in the eighth and ninth hole he can mow them down.
Exactly.
Like that's the way I looked at it.
You could also make the case Diaz should do that too.
Yeah.
And that's why I think either way you go is fine. You can argue both. Edwin Diaz comes in and it's the same thing. I'm not saying he's not ready, but it's as if he's not ready to throw a strike. And he walks the first batter,
yep.
And then he walks the next batter in Perdomo, who battled him a little bit after he falls behind 2-0 again, and then he gives up the grand slam. And you're sitting here saying, what in the hell just happened? And now they find themselves even in the series. We'll have to go out today to try and win the series. And I'm not saying they can't. They got their guy on the mound in Peterson, who's been really good. This offense has woken up a little bit. But these two losses, if you're going to catch up to teams like the Braves or the Diamondbacks or the Padres, can't happen. And when the one guy that you really relied on to start the season falters, you have no chance.
Jerry, you're not lying, man. At the end of the day, you know, they're currently four behind the Braves, 29 games left.
Yep.
This is a game you needed last night. And you know, when I looked at this game, especially in the fifth, when Nimmo gets the walk, JD does his thing, mm-hmm. and then, you know, Harrison Bader hits a two-run home run to tie the game, and I'm saying, okay, here go the Mets. And then we get to Diaz, and I'm saying, this is where they're going to pull it out. I just had that blind faith. Maybe I'm gullible and optimistic, but when he walked the first, I was just like, okay, he's just getting ready. I assumed it was going to be done after that. It didn't happen. So now it's about morale. It is what it is. How do you rally from this point on? And I thought, to your point, when Nimmo's comments, he was realistic. He goes, listen, we put ourselves in a situation. You know, we can't continue to, you know, rally and not finish. And that's been kind of the story with the Mets all season. They've been able to rally, kind of, you know, get going, but they never finished the job. And here we are.
Yeah, here we are. And it feels a lot like, in some ways, 2022. And before you say what? I mean the way the team has put themselves in position to win games. Again, you go back to April and early May, they were in position to win a lot of games, mm-hmm. and the bullpen faltered often and more than you wanted them to. And then these two losses here, these are games they won in 2022. They didn't lose these games. That's how you win 100 games and you go on and make the postseason. For this to start happening again now, if Edwin Diaz is not the, and I say the best version of himself, but I'm going to go back to that 2022 season where he was the best closer in baseball and earned himself a nice contract and all of that,
yep.
then they're not going to make the playoffs. And I don't even know that they'll be better than a 500 team if you can't close games. Gary Cohen said something last night during the telecast in the eighth inning, and I think it was before he gave up the grand slam. It was when Diaz came into the game, and it was in the middle of one of these at-bats, and he said, the Mets as a team only have one save in August.
Oh, wow.
One save. Now, I didn't go back and check. I'm sure what he said is accurate, which goes to show that they're either winning games by big margins or they're just not coming back late in games, or blowing games, quite frankly, like they did Sunday in San Diego.
Right.
So they've put themselves in position, and like you said, they're not, since the All-Star break, they simply haven't closed the job enough like they were in late May and June and then middle of July.
Yeah, I think one thing that was indicative about yesterday, especially when you talk about, listen, when Pete Alonso, you know, hit that sacrifice, I thought momentum was on their side. And
yeah,
I think sometimes when you as a ball club, and I've dealt with it as an athlete, man, sometimes you expect good to happen naturally. instead of grinding things out and understand that we got to close. Listen, they're 34 and 31 on the road, mm-hmm. right? I walked away from winning that game. I just assumed it. I just, like, they're not losing back-to-back. It's not happening, especially with the White Sox ahead, especially with everything ahead. And so it was disappointing. I don't know, and this is where you got to credit, this is where you got to lean on Lonzo. They have to start faster, right? I mean, it was a shutout through four, right?
Oh, yeah, no, they didn't have a hit.
They didn't have a hit.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, like, you just got to start faster. You can't, if Diaz is going to be the guy he was last night, then our bats got to come alive a lot earlier. Because obviously he can't finish.
You're right. The problem is if Diaz isn't Diaz, then it doesn't matter. Right. It just doesn't, because you're going to have close games down the stretch with maybe not the White Sox, but I mean really good teams as we were looking at the schedule yesterday that CBS Sports Network was putting up for September. And he's going to have to close out games. I mean, it's just the way it is.
That's just six blown saves.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, you've got a couple in the last two tries. I mean, the last two times we've seen him have not been good. I mean, the game in San Diego, again, you get the split. And I reference Brandon Nimmo because he's talking about baseball and how hard it is. And everything he's saying is not wrong. And he's like, you know, we were taking on the Padres and we got a split against the team that's played the best baseball since. You're 100% correct. And that's why we tried to be positive on Monday, even though it was a blown opportunity.
Yeah.
And they still have a chance to win this series in Arizona. But again, wasted opportunity. You could have won the series last night, gone out today. I don't want to say it's a gravy game because the Braves keep winning, for God's sakes. But you feel really good having taken two games in Arizona. Now all of a sudden you're 4-2 on the trip. The White Sox are coming up.
Yeah.
And instead, here you are fighting for your lives to try and win a series.
And the thing about it too, going into this White Sox series, you know, and I don't know, I feel like the little time I spend paying attention to the Mets, sometimes they play down to their competition.
And a lot of teams do.
And you find yourself saying to myself, you find yourself like, all right, who are they right now? You know, in August, that's not a question you want to ask yourself as a ball club. And that's why last night felt like the nightmare just kind of repeated itself after you talked about the loss against the Padres. So, you know, now you lost this one. You go into the White Sox. Hopefully we clean them up and move forward. But I'm always a fan of momentum, and this team doesn't look like they have any momentum. It seems like there's always kind of a rally cry, and when it doesn't happen, when you blow a save like Diaz gave up last night, it's them scratching their heads like, all right, where do we go? Because as you mentioned, the Braves haven't stopped. They know who they are and what they do.
The Twins stink. I mean, I'm tired of the Twins. I mean, give me a break. That's a team challenging to win a division. They stink. I mean, God, good Lord. But yes, you're right. The Braves continue to win. How many times have we said that over the last, I don't know, 30 years?
Well, it's real.
We're not lying to the people.
We're not saying that they're not, you know. I think at this point, they continue to do what they need to do. There's 29 games left in the season. And right now, we're trying to figure out who are the Mets in the middle of August.
Yeah, you know, I do think a lot of teams could say that. But you are right, because this team has been so up and down, inconsistent. When they play good, they play lights out. Best team in baseball for a month. And then, you know, again, they haven't played badly. They've just been very average. And that's not good enough when you're in a playoff race. Now, you said something which is very interesting, and that's the fact that they play down to their competition sometimes.
Yeah.
A lot of teams do. And one of those teams over the last few nights has been the Yankees. I mean, the Yankees just dropped 2 of 3 to a Nationals team that, while are young, and you used the word yesterday, they're gritty, and I agree with all that.
Yeah.
You got their prospect, and you saw Dylan Cruz. I mean, how about Dylan Cruz? I mean, he comes up, and I mean, he looks like maybe not his first couple of at-bats as a pro, but last night looked every bit of it.
Right.
It's still not a great Washington team, and the Yankees are still in the midst of a run to win the division, which ultimately I believe they will. They caught a break because the Dodgers did beat the Orioles last night, but you know, that's a game where, you know, you're only one game up, and they dropped Carlos Rodon. This is a question I asked you how many times this week or yesterday when we were talking about the Yankee pitching in the postseason and with CeeLo earlier. Who is Carlos Rodon as a pitcher?
Nobody. Nobody knows.
The leadoff home run last night, balks in a run, and then he's arguing that was a balk. Whether you want to say the pitch com's not working or wasn't,
but they also admitted they've been having problems. Well, Boone said it at the press. They've been having with the pitch com the last 2 days.
Correct. But you can't go into your set and just stop and start talking to the umpire.
What is he supposed to do?
Come set, step off, talk to the umpire. In every way, shape, or form, if the ball's in play and you're trying to come set and you just disregard it, the game is still live. You have to step off and then tell them and alert them that there's an issue. Like, but you can't just stop. You can't.
But my thing is, he's starting. He hasn't even started the process. He recognizes something's off right there.
But he's on the mound.
Yeah, I get
that's the problem. I think that is a balk by definition. I don't know how it's not. Now, you can be frustrated all you want, and the Yankees need to hit more than two runs, and all of a sudden Juan Soto's in a cold funk. I mean, he needs to snap out of it, too. But I don't know. The Yankees are a weird team to me, as good as they are.
No, you're right. I thought Soto, for this being a homecoming from didn't perform well. Like, I was just like, what the hell, Soto? But what was more frustrating after that balk, Rendon stunk it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you tell he was visibly rattled by that whole situation, and obviously the home run after those two. But I'm saying to myself, if you're Rendon, man, you have not only be better, it almost seems like mentally he's just not tapped in. And that's what scares you about it. And so as far as the balk, going back to the balk, man, I don't know. I don't know what he could have done in that situation. Now, you're saying just stop or walk.
I'm saying come set, step off. And then call for the umpire. Hey, I got this pitch comp thing. It's still not working. The same way it wasn't working, I think, earlier. They had an issue the night before. It is not perfect. I mean, the pitch comp thing, while it works, I heard, what was it, Messina? I saw a quote from one of the former Yankees that basically said they would have loved to have pitched with the pitch comp rather than the signs and the shaking off. It's just, it's a much easier. So some guys like it.
Right.
Some guys think it's a neat idea. Some guys struggle with it. Last night in that situation is what it is. But to your point, though, he just needs to be better.
I look at it like this, man. Rendon is, I think, throughout his career as a Yankee, he's always been that guy, especially early in his career, that you appreciate his grit. You like, you know, he cares. And it cares is a weird word. Like, you understand that he's going to give you the fight, right? Mm-hmm. But I think last night, especially how he responded to that and how he flipped the game. I like, for Christ's sake, the Nationals ran into a double play.
That was
nuts.
That was a little league play.
Yeah, Chisholm he didn't have any glaring mistakes last night. Still looks, you know, inconsistent to me out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Juan Soto, as you just mentioned, I thought he was gonna have a betting out against the Nats. I thought he was a little bit more geeked up. If it's not for Judge, it seems at this point we have nothing.
Well, he is a big part of the team and the offense. We know that. I mean, Chisholm did hit the home run last night, so that's good. But you know, when they're going good, they're hard to beat. This week, they have not gone well, and they lose 2 out of 3. So it is what it is. They find themselves up just by one game in the division. Again, Baltimore lost, so that's fine. And then lastly, before we take a break, just because we mentioned the Dodgers and the Orioles, did you see the lines in Los Angeles for this Ohtani bobblehead?
The lines.
They started lining up for the Ohtani bobblehead 7 hours before first pitch. And when I tell you line up, I don't mean that there were 30 people by the gate there.
Like a Taylor Swift concert lined up?
I mean like a mile long line.
Oh, that's brutal.
7 hours.
For a bobblehead? Adults.
Are you not into these? Oh, yeah. I'm not into it, but bobbleheads are a big deal.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
I know people collect them. I thought it was more of a kid thing.
No, I would say, do you know what's funny? I think the bobblehead is more of an adult thing.
Really?
Yes, people collect these things, and the Ohtani bobblehead is, I would think, in time will be worth a lot, and that's why people were lined up 7 hours.
Is there a price on these bobbleheads?
I would venture to guess. I could be wrong. I'm going to venture to guess that on eBay that those are already up for sale. And what would you say? Give me a price that you would think. So the first thing that comes up when you start putting OH in is Ohtani bobblehead. Before I click it, what do you think they'll be up for sale for? Are you guys looking
bucks?
In there? Don't look.
$30.
You say 30. I'm going to say 250. What do you guys say?
250?
Yeah.
For a toy?
For a toy.
That shakes his head.
Zoo?
Well, I was going to guess 250. You took that, so I guess I'll go over 250.
251. Yep.
I'm going to go 283.
No, I would go 200 if I was trying to steal it from you.
Oh, okay. All right, so the cheapest one up there. Wow, you nailed it. $199.99.
$200
yes.
for a bobblehead.
Yes, this is what I'm saying. That's why people were lined up for these things.
I went to the fan fest, the Fanatics, right?
Yeah.
I know trading cards are a big thing, but they were grown men, well into their 50s, running from table to table, fighting over trading cards.
And yeah, so with the trading cards, they make, wow, look at this. So they made a gold Shohei Ohtani bobblehead. AP guys got it up for sale for $18,000. How about that?
$18,000.
You're looking, or best offer. Yeah, no, you're
and
looking
so
at it.
The reason I said that, I just think at some point, like, when does it stop? Like, the trading cards I kind of get, but well, now we're trading bobbleheads?
It goes through phases. I mean, if you remember back in the, well, you're younger than me, so maybe not, but in the, I would say mid-80s, it was huge. And then I was into it through the early 90s, and then they were, Score came out with cards, the yep. Donruss and Topps and Fleer, and all of a sudden they started making too many of a lot. Like, I loaded up on Ken Griffey Jr. cards. The problem was, so did everybody else, and they're not worth anything.
Do you still have your collection?
I do. From when I was a kid, yeah.
Is it in the will? You pass this down to Junior?
No, because I don't think they're worth anything. I'll give them to my son. I mean, whatever. Yeah. But because that time, trading cards was on the down. I don't know, in the last 10 years, it's exploded the other way.
It's
and they
nuts.
They make a lot of rare cards, and it's a big deal. It's a very big deal. So, yeah, run. And from what I was told from that Fanatics Fest, when they were selling boxes of cards that had...
Boxes
that had some rare cards yeah. in them, people would run by them, find the correct. Rarity in the box, and then automatically start selling them.
Yeah.
And sell them for a profit.
I watched it.
Yeah.
People were like diving over tables, hiding behind corners, trying to get all...
I believe it.
Sift through these things. And it wasn't like some 20-year-old kid who's trying to get a list.
These are adults.
These were like guys that correct. Had mortgages and, you know, feeding... Clearly had a family.
Yeah. No, it's big business, believe it or not, the trading cards now. It is. And these bobbleheads can be as well.
How do you get to that point where you trade... That you prefer a good time with trading cards over sex and spending time with your family?
Because it becomes your business.
Business?
Business. Okay. There are people that make significant money.
Six figures?
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I'm lost. I would never thought that.
So just take 90 days off from sex and learn about the trading cards, and you'll be good to go. By the way, we have a story about that coming up too.
Okay.
Sorry. And it's a weird one.
Really?
Weird one. We'll get to that. We'll also get to an almost demise of a staffer here. And I am not joking when I say that. That and a whole lot more. And the football, too, right here on a, what's today, Thursday?
Thursday, baby.
On a Thursday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks... What happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
the blood would.
All right, nice to have you with us. Coming live from the Built Ford Tub Studio, Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. Action-packed day because of the Mets and the Yankees sucking yesterday. And then we've got a lot of football as well and some interesting comments from a lot of people. And I'm sure with all of that is Crystal Presley.
Well, I don't know if we'll get to all of it right out of the gate, Jerry, but, you know, we'll try to get you started here. We are brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So Sunday in San Diego hurt, right, we would say, with the Mets?
Oh, God, yeah.
But last night in Arizona felt like maybe an uppercut to the chin.
Bases loaded, two outs, 5-4 Mets. 0-1. Swinging a high fly to right. Taylor going back to the track. He's at the wall. He leaps. It's out of here. A go-ahead grand slam home run for Corbin Carroll.
That is Keith Radd, Odyssey Mets Radio. Edwin Diaz comes on in the eighth again with two outs, a man on first, a one-run lead. He threw eight of his first 10 pitches for balls to load the bases and then hung an 0-1, we'll call it a cement mixer slider there.
Terrible. Right, and by the way, 8 of 10, it could have been 9 of 10 because he got a check swing foul ball that was might have been a ball as well, and there was also a strike that was called that was not a strike that even Keith is like, boy, got away with one there. So really, he stunk.
Yeah, I think that's the underlying take, or not the underlying, it's the obvious takeaway here. So first blown save for Diaz in a while, but his second straight loss, of course, we talked about Sunday in San Diego, as the Diamondbacks in this one stunned the Mets 8-5 after the Mets had erased a 4-0 deficit. They took a 5-4 lead into the late innings. Here's Diaz. He had a bad feeling coming into the game to be begin with.
I think my command wasn't that good today. I came from the bullpen commanding my fastball away really bad.
Really bad with the fastball.
Wow, really
and
bad.
And then his other pitch, of course, the slider, not sharp either.
My slider is falling like floating in the zone because I think that's why, because I'm driving to Thursday in test, go straight to home play. So that's why I think I'm missing my slider right in the middle.
So he's questioning mechanics and delivery. And
all right, this is a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have no confidence going back to him now.
Yeah. And
not when he sounds like that.
No, I've been a defender of his.
He gave you three pitches where he's concerned about.
Yeah. Thought coming back off the IL would be okay. He's got two.
God
right,
almighty.
Pretty much. I mean, geez. So not good these last couple of times out. Let's get to Brandon Nimmo because, Jerry, you mentioned it in the post, or I mentioned
it was
his
interesting
post-game comments in your open. So they were expansive, long answers.
He didn't shut up for like 2 minutes.
Right. Yeah. So one of them was 3.5, actually.
Yeah, maybe, right.
And he is demonstrative, as you'll see, Nimmo, I thought, kind of forceful with his answers. So here's a taste to get us started. Yeah, we've had some tough losses, but we're right there.
These are good teams that we're playing. In fact, I think we broke Arizona's win streak, didn't we?
Yes.
Okay, so, I mean, you know, we're playing good baseball. It's just that's a good team too. And in baseball, you're not going to win every single game.
We are aware of that. Yes.
And I think you're right. Visibly, you could tell he was frustrated. And I think part of that is the team lost, but the team was in position to win again.
Yeah.
Right.
And while they didn't score 10 runs, they had one more than the other team, and the bullpen can't close it out.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the game in San Diego, just like all those games in April. And it's got to be really frustrating for the position player.
Yep. And speaking of that series in San Diego, he says that wasn't too bad either.
They have the best record in baseball, don't they?
Yeah.
Since the All-Star break. And we took 2 of 4 against them in San Diego. And we lost the last game by one run, by a walk-off. Like, when you start looking at it from those terms, it's not that bad.
And then fast forward to last night, another loss. Kind of the same thing with Arizona.
Then tonight, we put ourselves in a position to win all the way until the ninth inning. I mean, tell me where that's bad baseball right there. Like, so, you know, sometimes other teams are just going to do more. And, I mean, when you run into good teams, it's going to happen.
He even used the word ass at one point, which for him is rare.
You know? I've not said they've played bad baseball, but they don't close out games sometimes. And if you don't do it now, when the Braves keep winning, you're going to find yourself out of the race.
Yes.
And that's what stinks.
And we'll see what happens in today's series finale. David Peterson opposed by Ryan Nelson beginning at 3:40. Of course, as Jerry just alluded to, the Braves won again 5-1 atop the Twins. So the Mets are now 4 out in the wild card race. The Padres did lose to the Cardinals on a Nolan Arenado walk-off hit in St. Louis. So they've been the walk-off kings at home, but they actually were on the other side of one at least last night.
And who's this now?
The Padres.
The Padres. I'm trying to find the blown saves leaders in baseball.
Oh, boy.
And I don't mean individually. I mean by team.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm going to be able to
find
that.
Oh, sure, you can effort that. Your guy, Daniel Nunez, not good either,
yeah,
Jerry.
What was the deal with
unavailable last night because he's, quote, not recovering well between outings per Carlos Mendoza.
Because
so
they even they were referencing that.
Again.
Yeah, in the eighth inning when and by the way, when did Luis Guillorme go to the Diamondbacks? I thought Ron Washington was knocking him around at Anaheim. meaning bouncing him all over the place and then pulling him from games and making, ripping him afterwards.
Let me see.
I had no idea he was in Arizona.
I don't know that I necessarily knew that either until I saw him talking about Lindor's MVP candidacy the other day. There you go. Not that long ago, Jerry. He was DFA'd by the Angels August 16th, released on the 18th, and on the 20th,
okay,
he signed with Arizona.
Right,
so he's been a Diamondback for 9 days.
Got it.
So very, very recently. There you go. Let's get to the Yankees. Down in D.C., a disappointing series loss for them.
And he goes to third, and he's going to steal that, too. James Wood just swiped third base.
On the pitcher, as I said, Rodon looks really shaken up here.
Ricky and Susan here on the Fan. It was a bad Rodon night. You had the guys stealing bases left and right. He balked in the run. You had the pitch comm issue. He ends up giving them 5 2/3, but charged with all 5 runs on 8 hits, couple of walks. He had a wild pitch as well. So just a poor outing, and his second straight for the Yankees, I should say, in general, after their defensive mess the other night. They lose this one, the rubber game to the Nationals, 5-2. A lot of things out of whack for Rodon, including some technology along the way.
Pitchcom wasn't working, and it was what it was. I should have stepped off first and confronted about the pitchcom, and I gave up a stupid run there. So that was pretty upsetting.
Seems like the brain is the biggest thing holding him back more so than the physical side of things.
Because that's a mistake a veteran should make.
He's losing it right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I understand visibly frustrated.
And Boone did everything he could. Like, he was just terrified when Dolan was going to get thrown out.
But he's still wrong in that spot. He's still wrong in that spot, and he did acknowledge it at least.
Yeah, yeah, after the fact, when he cooled down a little bit.
For sure.
We've seen him in the heat of the moment.
Yep.
Even before he came to the Yankees, when he was with the Giants, when he kicked the bat that hit, who was the former Yankee?
At least he's not.
Tyro Estrada.
At least he
was. Remember that video? He came into the dugout, kicked a bat.
It almost got him.
And it hit Estrada, and then he, of course, felt bad immediately. But he runs a little hot under the collar.
He's like, but not as bad as Chris Sale, who takes scissors to jerseys he doesn't like.
Yeah.
A little crazy.
That was less about him, like, his it wasn't a heat of the moment. I think he hated the jerseys and maybe had pitched poorly in them in one point.
Maybe. I don't know.
You know what? It's a couple of years now. I could have that wrong. But yeah, I do remember him cutting up those. He didn't care for those.
That was a weird one.
Scissors in the dugouts. It's aggressive.
Very much so.
So Rodon said upsetting. Yeah, so was the offense. 1-for-13 with runners in scoring position after they went 0-for-8 on Tuesday. They left 8 men on base this time around. Just not a great series. Here was a matter of fact, Aaron Boone.
Jazz hit the homer, but otherwise it kept us in the yard. So we just got to try and keep creating as many opportunities as possible. But, obviously didn't do enough the last 2 nights just pushing runs across. And so lost the series.
It's kind of just a sloppy couple of days for them against a team that they obviously should do better against.
It's another example, and beware, Met fans. Just because the other team ain't good on the other side doesn't mean you're going to waltz in and win games.
We talked about that earlier in the week pertaining to speaking of the White Sox. So they had a complete suspended game, I guess.
Yes.
Before, did you see the picture?
There was nobody there.
When we say
nobody there.
I would say like less than 100, at least in the half of it was like a picture of, I'll call it half of the stadium, maybe a third.
Mm-hmm.
And it was,
at that point, it should be
there.
The ballpark's obligation to kind of give free beer and hot dogs to those who are in the building out of just good, pure merit for at least showing up.
You could do that. I did see the post that said, if I count, there might be 15 people here.
15?
I mean, it was a little of an exaggeration, but that's how empty it was.
Yeah.
But that does happen, not to that extreme.
You're picking up a suspended game. It's the middle of the day and a weekday, and the team stinks, but like, it looked like a COVID. You look like the COVID year pretty much in the park.
Yeah. Sure. You should have put the cardboard cutouts out.
Yeah, they're
you got awful. Off. You got to be handing out Groupons. Do something.
I'm sure they're
trying. They are god awful. They're 31-102. I'm sorry. 31-103 now.
Because they lost the other game.
They lost the completion of the suspended game and then the regularly scheduled game.
Holy crap.
Oh, boy. Yankees did get some help from the Dodgers last night as they beat the Orioles out in L.A. 6-4. You did the Ohtani bobblehead thing,
right?
We did
mention it, yes.
And the dog.
No, I didn't do the dog thing. Amy mentioned it. Amy Lawrence
mentioned it. What happened
with the dog? So the bobblehead, it had to do with the dog as well.
Okay.
It was Decoy is his dog's name.
Puppy with a Ohtani bobblehead.
Oh, I see. Oh,
yeah. Was it part of the bobblehead?
Yes, I didn't even realize.
Yeah, so maybe that's part of the. I know he's got an infatuation with this dog to the point where they had the dog go out to the mound, and instead of throwing the first pitch, he carried the ball. He basically played fetch, and the dog carried the ball in its mouth to home plate.
So this is like a legit Christmas gift. If you gift this to somebody, somebody would be happy that you.
They even got Decoy's name on the bottom. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you want to make a bid, we can start at $200
for Ohtani
for the dog and the Ohtani bobblehead.
Yeah, I'll pass. I just say.
I mean, they're available. I'm just saying. You can get it.
I imagine
they're available because
nobody wants.
People were lined up, as you said, for 7 hours before the game to get their hands on one.
That's exactly right.
And then he, of course, goes deep and to lead off the bottom of the first. It's his 42nd home run. It stole another couple of bases. So good night for Shohei out west, and the Dodgers take down the Orioles. By the way, as bad as the Yankee game was, how about the 8-6-2-3-2-5-4 double play?
Funny.
I mean,
think
about how bad
announcers.
The Nationals were on the base paths on that play.
You're right.
And they still win the game in the series.
But if you watch the replay, the Washington announcer, no, go back. No, oh, what are we doing?
I mean, it looked funny. Like a Little League play.
Yeah.
That's how bad they were on the base paths there. Oh, boy. Yankees are off. They've got the Cardinals coming up for an interleague series, which will begin tomorrow night. We will get to some football sound as we go along. Just a couple of notes here. Malik Nabers has settled on a jersey number.
Yep.
Number one, which the Giants will bring out of retirement as they checked with the family of the late Ray Flaherty, who, I mean, the number has been retired since, what, the late 20s or the 30s? Or he played in the late 20s or the 30s, I think it was. Yeah, he joined the Giants in 1929, then had 2 years as the Gonzaga basketball coach.
Gonzaga.
And then returned to the Giants from 31 to 35.
I mean, you think about what sports were and what they are now.
Oh, man.
My God. Even in baseball, how many guys went to fight in the war and then came back?
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
So anyway, Nabers will wear number one. He had number nine during training camp and throughout the spring, but that's Graham Gano's number. And I guess Nabers wasn't interested in number nine. Wore eight in college.
Okay.
Daniel Jones has eight. So
I was like, why wouldn't he try to get eight?
Duh, I don't know that DJ's given that up just yet. Daniel Jones?
I mean,
you imagine I'm gonna buy the number off the starting quarterback.
Why not?
I guess
won't be there long.
That's probably true, but it wouldn't be great for optics, right? As they say. Man. Is there something else you were just about to ask me?
Probably.
All right. The ESPN's got a 30 for 30. They're going to do on the Jets sack exchange. So we have that to look forward to. Fleegs and I on the post game podcast were talking about
all the. Be on it.
What's that?
I imagine Joe Benigno's. He may be a part of it.
I would
ESPN, maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, it's certainly possible. I don't know what they would do in that category.
They should. I mean, if they're doing it the right way.
I'm not saying they should or they shouldn't, but he's still not an ESPN employee.
Correct.
Who knows?
Okay.
Who knows?
Tell your friends.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
Get Joe and get Ira from Staten Island and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll look forward to that. That should be fun. Because we were saying on the post-game podcast all the negative things you
can
do.
The Jet post-game show you did?
Yeah, we did. I look, Willie was here. It was the first day I'd had a chance to work with him.
Very nice things to say about you.
We talked.
Him and her.
Well, he's like, where?
I didn't expect anything negative.
I mean, they didn't have to say anything. They could have talked about other things, and instead they opened up talking about how good you are.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Well, did that. Kind of took a little trip down negative memory lane, but that's happened to the Jets in the last, you know, 15 years or so.
I mean,
it goes beyond 15 years, but more recent memory. So we were saying how there could be a lot of documentaries done on some of the bad things that have happened. And then a couple hours later, they make an announcement about a positive Jets documentary. So that's all good.
I'm excited to see. They do a good job with that. I enjoyed it.
They do. Absolutely. Absolutely. Last thing. So Tom Brady still could get approved as a partial owner of the Raiders here. And I guess this is very interesting to me. So if it goes through, the league's got in place a plan for how they would handle his broadcasting. And he's basically, there's a lot of restrictions that are going to be in play if he ends up.
He can't go anywhere.
Right. But I mean, think about from Fox's standpoint, they're paying him all this money. He's going to be the lead analyst. No, you don't care?
Oh, I don't think it matters.
What, from what standpoint?
From what standpoint is just analyze the game. It doesn't matter. He's Tom Brady. We're going to judge him on how he tells us what he is seeing and not seeing, the same way Romo shot up to fame by predicting the plays given what he was watching and the tape he was watching. I think as long as Tom Brady analyzes what he sees on the field and has fun stories to tell along the way with Kevin, I think it's going to be fine.
Can't publicly criticize officials or other clubs.
Is that during the broadcast or during the week?
I imagine the way I read it can't happen during a broadcast.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I thought the broadcast was the only time he was allowed to do that, but otherwise not.
Is that true? All right.
You're right. There's so much confusion.
That's why I'm curious. It seems like it could definitely get in the way.
I'm nervous with Tom. I don't want to see Tom stink it up. I don't. Well, listen, I understand he's Tom Brady. As a Jet, we should all hate Tom Brady. But I think he's developed a level of, you know, elitism that I don't want to see him fall.
Well, I don't think he's going to go out. This is going to be 7 o'clock, so we'll get to that in a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Anything else?
That's on your rundown? Okay, I apologize. Anything else? We got stuff coming up for the rest of the show.
Then we will see you next hour.
Yes.
All right, Chris, thank you very much. When we come back, if you're going to fool around, be careful. We'll get to that. We will get to more football, I promise, coming up at 7 o'clock as well. And then you mentioned something about Daniel Jones later in the show. I would like to revisit that because I think that's an interesting comment you just had, and it seems to be the overwhelming thought.
Okay.
So all of that and more coming up on the Boomer and Geo program. It is Willie and Jerry in for those guys on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Welcome back. I'd like to paint a picture for you. Now, before I read the story, actually, I'm just saying these could be parameters. Let's just say you're in a committed relationship, but you're looking elsewhere for some fun stuff. Okay? You're not going to do that, I would like to think. You're not going to do that in your own home, I wouldn't think. So you got to find places to do it. Would you say a parked car in a remote area would be a popular place to get busy, if they say?
I know the young kids like to do it in those areas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now let's say that happens, and aside from maybe getting arrested because a cop drives by and sees the car shaking and, you know, whatever.
Right.
Let's just say, what could possibly go wrong? Could you come up with a scenario where, other than a cop seeing you and either chasing you out or arresting you for doing something you shouldn't be doing in a public area, although in the car, what could really go wrong? Give me a scenario that you could see.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? And I'm not even talking about the spouse or girlfriend or boyfriend you're cheating on finding you. I'm not even going there.
Okay.
What could possibly go wrong?
I know. You leave the car and drive and, you know, get too active and the car kind of gets rolling, bumps it, you know, slams it to another car.
It's close. You are close, my friend.
Tried to get out of the box there a little bit.
How about this one? This happened in Philadelphia.
Of course, Philly.
I'm going to read you the headline.
Okay.
No, I don't want you to look. I want to read this to you.
I won't.
Philly couple getting busy in a Range Rover.
Nice.
Accidentally rolls into the river.
What?
After they hit the gear stick while doing what they're doing in the backseat. Now, let me get this out there, too.
Yes.
They jumped out before the car went into the river, so they're safe. They didn't die. They didn't drown. Because a lot of times we'll do these stories and you read deeper into it and you find out that they ended terribly. No. In this case, they're safe and healthy. That's fine.
That's good.
So it turns out the two were, and they admitted they were having sex in their Range Rover or in a Range Rover near the Schuylkill River around 4:15 in the morning Wednesday.
4:15 in the morning.
One of their legs bumped into the gear stick and either pulled it or pushed it into drive or reverse.
So they were doing a do before work.
Or after work, depending upon their schedule, yes. But in the middle of the night, yes. Which tells me there's something going on here.
Oh, it's definitely something going on. I mean, the only time, first of all, the location is sneaky as hell. Like, either you're buying an exotic pet or you're doing that. That's the only reason why you would do it by a river.
Mm-hmm. Look at the car submerged. That's a Range Rover.
So my point is, like, at one point, you didn't feel it. I would have tried to save the car. I'm going to be honest.
Well, they were in the back seat.
Yeah, I still would have did. I would have.
How?
I would have somehow tried to save my car. You're going into a river. There's, I mean, unless you're like right at the edge, you're like, oh no, we gotta abandon it. We gotta get out of here.
Well, I don't know that they. So were it's all a that Range Rover.
How much is a Range Rover?
$100,000
easily,
I would think. Yeah,
and so now you lost your shoes, your pants, and your Range Rover.
Mm-hmm.
All because you wanted some nookie for 4:15 in the morning. That's now, a bad day.
Now let me ask you
that's
this.
A rough day.
How do you explain this one?
You don't. You just you have to tell the people you've been robbed and they only wanted your pants. And well, your car. Give me your pants and your car. That's what I would have told my wife.
The problem with what you're saying is they were interviewed and they had to tell them what was going on. Now, I don't know if they were nude. I imagine they were, at least partially. They had to have been. And
first of all, getting on in the back seat, that there's a lot of, it's not just jumping back there. Like, you have to put the seats up. You got to get the AC on. There's a lot of maneuvering.
Which might have been why the car was still running, clearly.
Correct.
Unless the car was, so like my car, I'm one of the dinosaurs. Me and Eddie Scazzeri, we're still in the 5-speed manual transmission.
Oh, wow.
Which I love. I hate automatic cars.
Why?
They're boring.
Jerry, I don't even understand that comment. What's so boring about an automatic car? You want to work while you drive? You're driving. That's enough work.
No, it's boring. I enjoy shifting the gear. I do. I always have. Most of my cars I've had.
What do you think shifting the gears does for you?
That just keeps you engaged in driving.
Do you have control issues?
Why?
Because I don't. I feel like you're somebody that gets up
mm-hmm.
in the middle of the night
yes.
to go to work.
Right.
You do a lot. You play 18 rounds of golf.
Right.
You're a family man. Mm-hmm. At some point, I figure you just want to take some time to yourself and not worry about operating a vehicle through gear shift, that you just kind of want to sit behind the wheel and let the car take over where you can have that mm-hmm. downtime to let your mind go.
I don't. I really don't. That's why, and even we talked about this too, even when we're on the highway. And you get into sixth gear, and now you're just cruising, and there's nothing to do. That's when I need like sunflower seeds because of the hours.
So it's very difficult to stay awake. You always need something to do, even in the most minute of situations.
I never thought of it that way, but I suppose so. I never thought of it that way. Yeah, I guess. I like driving a 5-speed or a 6-speed in this case. I do. So my point was, and clearly this isn't it, but you could have a car.
I learned so much more. I learned so much.
The 5-speeds, it's a great vehicle. I know no one buys them anymore.
Nobody.
They're hard to find, but they're fun. They really are. If anybody out there drives a 5-speed, help me out. Everyone always helps him out.
I just don't feel like you need it.
Yesterday we found out that chicken onion rings or whatever the hell they are is the bomb.
Which I'm not disrespecting.
I'm saying I never heard of it, and yet people are calling about the chicken rings or whatever. Help me out with the manual transmission. That's all. For once, be on my side. It's just a fun way to drive. My point is,
go ahead.
You could get into trouble if the car is off in a 5-speed. You don't put the emergency brake on, and then mm-hmm. you're in gear, and you kick it out of gear, and then it just starts rolling too. I mean, that could happen as well.
Yeah, I just feel like this couple was trying to be sneaky and be adventurous, and obviously there's something was going on. But at the end of the day, you lost your pants, your car, and now you're on the news.
Oh, you're on the news, and not for good reason.
Like, this is destiny. Mm. This is bigger than them just hitting the gear shift.
Yes.
This was supposed to happen.
And you didn't lose a 1977 beat-up Datsun. It's a 2020 right. Range Rover. My man, Don in Milford, talk to us.
Jerry, we actually drive. If you're shifting, you're driving your car. If you're not shifting, you're just going along for the ride.
That's right.
Okay? We actually drive. Mm-hmm. We can stop quicker. Our brakes are last longer
because
we're not hammering them. We can downshift. So
yep.
we can accelerate faster as well. You're stuck with your pig automatic transmission. So, and by the way, standards don't break. Your automatic transmission is going to last how many thousands of miles before it's trash and you're going to have to replace your car.
I'm not saying anything he said. I don't disagree with. My only issue is why.
He just told you why.
No, he told me what the car could do instead of.
Well, no. He gave you Don. You just gave me about 5 different reasons why the manual transmission is better than the automatic.
If you're a logical person and you use reason, then yeah. But if you are, you just want to be staring at advertisements while you're on a monorail, then, whatever.
There you go, my man.
Staring at advertisements while you're on a runner. First of all, you drive so you can listen to music. You let your brain down, right? It's a good time to have a conversation with the wife while you go on about your life.
Hold on. Do you think we're sitting there driving going, first, Second.
I feel like there's third. Enough
don't talk
to worry
me.
About.
Don't fourth. I got to concentrate.
I just feel like there's enough going on the road. I don't want to have to worry about the car. You pay for the car,
you're
so the car can do what the car
it's
can do.
It's a great way to drive a vehicle.
I don't. I disagree. I think it's too much.
Because you don't know how to.
Well, one, I don't. Okay. 100%. But even if I did, I still would prefer the automatic.
Logan in West Milford. What's up, Logan?
I think you have control issues.
Well, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I don't know who your guest is, and I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
Willie Colon, the former Steeler and Jet.
Okay, I'm 35. I've been driving a 5 or 6 speed my entire life. It is mindless once you know how to do it. You don't even think about it.
Right.
Well, I've admitted I don't know how to do it.
No, I know, but I think he's getting to your point of you want to be mindless and not have to think about it.
Correct. Just go.
When you first
start. What's
more
mindless than pressing the button just let your car to go forward?
When you first start learning, yes, you have to think, but once you learn how to drive it, it's like driving a car, but it's more fun. It's more fun, and then even what Don said, your brakes last longer. That is 100% accurate because you downshift so much.
Does anybody worry about their brakes when they drive?
Yeah, people that have budgets. Well,
worry about their brakes.
You asked for reasons; he gave them to you. The brakes last longer, better fuel efficiency, so you spend less on gas.
Okay,
and it's more fun. That's just three reasons.
I understand the logistics mind. I don't know where the fun part comes. Like just to feel the car shift back and forth.
Oh, absolutely.
Like those little machines outside of the supermarkets. You know, when you're on a little rocket, you know, you're like, oh, look at me controlling the nozzle.
Well, that's if you're not very good at shifting. When you first start, yes, you're bucking back and forth. But you get pretty smooth with it, actually.
I think you're stuck in the 80s.
Now, I will tell you, in traffic, they suck. 100%. I cannot argue that point. And as I learned last night, which
when
I
you have automatic,
done a long time,
you're not afraid of traffic. You're not worried about the sun.
It's boring. It's still boring.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!